DJW Mobile.
Well, hello, stranger. KG4MK.
KW4DJW, where have you been?
Rolling down the road, carrying Elmo heavy loads, running all over upstate. Week after week after week after week, it's just been busy, 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 and it stays that way.
Burns, if I take it, that means that you have fully recovered?
Yeah, they even bought me an electric pallet jack so I didn't hurt myself again.
Back 100% and back at it again. You hear anything from anybody across the pond lately?
YouTube Live about 2 weeks ago, and he dropped in and stayed in there for until I got done, and then he called me on phone and we talked video chat for probably, I don't know, 2 hours. See, according to him, you know, it's getting extremely cold over there and they're looking to get snow and same old thing, just different things going on, but everything's going real well with everything and everybody over there. He does ask about you every time.
Well, surprised me. Their latitude is about the same as New York. And the only thing they got going for them is the Gulf is bringing in warm air. So that does make it a little warmer for them than it does the New Yorkers. But they get about that same, he lives about the same latitude I lived at when I was over there.
Well, that way.
Or France were from 92 to 94.
That's cool. That would, I think just being around France and Italy and just being able to eat the same food that my wife cooks nearly every single day, man.
An experience. I got to the point where I was told that don't tell me what I'm eating until I'm done. Otherwise, you know, your brain can mess up your thought process or your food tasting process. Your brain can do that all by itself. But if you don't tell your brain what it's eating, then it has more of an objective taster.
Yeah, my wife knows the two things that I dislike and don't want to eat, and she will still make it. And I'll look at it, and I'll eat it, and I'm like, man, that was good. And she'll say, yep. That was squash. I'm like, ugh, boy, it was good.
That squash.
That stuff up like in a linguine, like all the cheeses.
Fried squash, man. There's nothing. I don't like the kind that's, you know, runny in a bowl, but man, that fried squash is good stuff. That's good eating.
The way her grandmother and great-grandmother did in Sicily. And, oh, man, all I can say is, oh, boy, you can go, like, to the, you know, the pizza, like Grimaldi's in Greenville. You can go in there and get a calzone. You can get a meaty pizza, and it's good. I mean, it is legitimately really good. But you still ain't had the best calzone is what Gina makes. Hers are just so packed with that recovery. I mean, they're just like, I don't know how to express. I guess it's when that's your heritage, that's your genealogy, you just really just do it to it, you know, so to speak.
Means, I mean, I don't know why there's a difference, but they say we're too fast-paced over here. You got to slow down and smell the roses. And they may be right, because that's what they do. They focus more on food than I get invited over to somebody's house after work. We get there about 5 o'clock, and I wouldn't leave till 2 a.m. And we were all just having a wonderful time the whole time. They'd serve like 6 courses to a single meal. It was you know, like you said, you have to grow up in that environment, or you have to, you know, you can't just visit there as a visitor. You have to be able to get on the inside to be able to understand what it's all about. But they do enjoy life over there.
Cousins and aunts and uncles and us all get together and the grandparents and stuff. know, they get up like 4 in the morning. And some of the stuff, like the tomato, the ketchup, not the ketchup. I'm committing sin here right now as I speak. The sauce, they'll cook that stuff for 24 hours. And I've had to have that job where you sat there and stirred it till your arm about fell off, and then somebody pick up the pace and keep doing it. But we've had a table spread that when I eat what I eat, and I tried to eat like a bite of every single thing on that table, and then I come up and say, oh, man, I wish I could have one more. And Papa say, well, go ahead there, Wayne. Go ahead. Get you another bite. It's good for you. And my shirt's about to explode. My gut's about to explode. And then I'm miserable. Then I end up waking up comatized 2 days later.
Do it over here for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And I'm like you said, like that. But when I do that over there, they space it out from like 5 in the afternoon till 2 in the morning. And their proportions were a lot smaller, so you wouldn't get that feeling. And you'd still have that good taste that comes with it. But like you said, one of their sayings is, it's all in the sauce. It's all about the sauce. That was one of their sayings. There was a place over there called Le Tout de Cru. Le Tout is all, that's everything. The Cru is the brute, that's the how you start, the starting point, the base. All of the base that you could imagine. And it was a wine tasting shop, but he served food as well. And he had a duck plate, man. there's nothing on this earth that is as good as that plate. I would go there just for that duck. I mean, that's anytime I'd go to Clermont-Ferrand, that's where I would go, is to Le Tout de Cru to get duck, because there's not a plate better on planet Earth.
Exactly what you're talking about. Now, have you been to Grimaldi's in Greenville, right beside Bass Pro Shop?
Not one yet. Probably would do something like that. There's just so many of them in Greenville. You know what I mean? You can't hit them all.
This coming from the Italians in my family. You go in there, if it's like, say, you and your wife, you get you a medium-sized pizza and get it with sausage and meatball, and then get you a full-size or a half-size, I'm sitting here having a brain fart because I can't think of what the thing's called, I just named that thing a while ago, the little half a pie rolled over, what, oh man, calzone, that thing is unbelievable, and my wife will tell you flat out, it is as close to the family recipe as it can possibly get without going there.
Europe, that's where I had the first calzone that I ever had. I had it in a place that was a cave, 100 years old, the cave was, and the restaurant was inside the cave, and that's where I had my first calzone over there, and that was, you're right, those are really good if they're cooked right. My wife came over there after we got married, and after my stage over there was complete, she came, and we went between Clermont and Ledoux, and there was a pizza place. Ledoux is the test track, kind of like we've got a test track here, the Michelin test track down there in Lawrence, and we've got a Michelin up at Donaldson Center. It's kind of the same thing over there, except the test track is north of the manufacturing plant, and here it's south. But we were traveling back and forth between the two, and we had some French friends with us, and they said, you want to stop in and have a real pizza at this pizzeria? So we stopped in there, and they cooked the pizza in a rock oven. The oven was made out of rocks. It was all rocks. And the fire had, you know, wood for the fire. There wasn't, like, Buff ate that pizza. She said that's the best. She loves pizza a lot more than I do. But she said that's the best pizza she ever ate.
Aldi's does it that I'm telling you about. They got the old stone oven, and they keep the wood coals in a real big circle all the way around it, and then you just slip the pizza in, and it's like I said, a hamburger, I mean a sausage, Italian sausage, and meatball pizza, and get a calzone, because that's what we usually do, because, you know, we got to come home and feed the kid, and we'll get one of each. We'll eat a bite or two of this and a bite or two of that, take the rest home, and then got lunch for later. But this is close to the family recipe as it can possibly get. If not, it's actually, for me, it's spot on. But it is, if you haven't been there, I really highly recommend that one.
And what's the name again? Say it one more time.
Grimaldi's. It's right beside the Bass Pro Shop right over there off of 385.
All right. I'll have to let her know. What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? You know, go back and forth. So that'll be a new one we'll put in the rotation. W4DJW.
KG4MEK. Yeah, last week I had a week off. Mini vacation there. We're just sitting around the house, not doing a whole lot. Had some things I had to do. We went over there on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Now, if I'm going to drive 40 miles, come over there just to eat, you know it's got to be good.
I do, but only once a month, and I usually just go get it. That's the Schlotzky's. I don't know if you've ever eaten there or not, but it's pretty good. But there's only one of them around that I know of, so I have to drive from Greer to Greenville to get a Schlotzky's. But it's worth it.
Seneca off of 123 right there at the corner of Sheep Farm Road.
Wait for me. That's like over an hour drive from me.
Yeah, from Seneca all the way over to Piedmont, get in my Southeastern truck and run all over Spartanburg, Greenville. I'm everywhere. I'm all over the Greenville area all day long. And, know just about every nick, nook, and cranny over there.
See, like interstate traveling, it's all right up here in upstate South Carolina?
About 9 to 12 hours a day, each day, every day up there in that general area. Our terminal's off of exit 40 right there. You get off of exit 40, you turn right on 153, go down to the left, and then we're on the left. I work out of Piedmont. I don't know if you've seen the Southeastern Freightline trucks, but they're black and red. And they got Southeastern Road on them. I don't go more than probably 100 miles a day. And 100 miles a day is a big day. If I run Georgia, I may put about 160 miles on a truck. But, you know, they got over 100 of us up there. And there's usually four to seven trucks in each, I guess. You know, you got downtown Greenville's got about four trucks. You got over in Cherrydale, they got about three trucks over there. You got Taylor's, we got about four trucks over there. You know, it's kind of spread out like that.
These trucks. I think everybody knows that. That's kind of like, I used to work at CSX, the train. Well, it was Sealand, and then CSX bought Sealand. Sealand was like across the ocean travel shipping. And then CSX was railroad, and they kind of combined the two. And then Maersk, a Dutch company, bought the Sealand portion of it. And I think CSX stayed railroad only. But I used to work for them, yeah. And you could, when you said CSX, it's kind of like yours. Everybody knows what you're talking about when you're talking about them.
Columbia, and then just kind of slowly spread out. They started the company in 1950. And they've grown to be a very large company, spreading from this side of Arizona all the way up into about I-40. We cover everything in that whole area from the east to this side of the Arizona and Texas and this, that, and the other. But like the, not necessarily the borderline, but it's like, you know, that's about as far as we go. And then whatever terminal is up or off of 40 probably goes up maybe 60 miles, 75 miles up, in general locations for deliveries up in them areas, but that's about as far as range as we got, but I'm down here.
They let you put a HF rig in any of those tractors, or do you have like a different tractor all the time?
We're always slip seating, but I always keep HT in the backpack. Sometimes I'm out and about riding around, this, that, and the other, and, you know, and I'll be listening to stuff going on. And if you ever watched a UPS driver, you'll notice that, like, especially when he got a residential neighborhood or the downtown, and it's like he stopped here and then went to the next one, stop here and go to the next one, stop here and go to the next one. Well, I'm just doing it on a larger scale. I mean, I drive 5 miles and I'm already stopping again. And, you know, where the UPS guy's got probably 2,000 pounds of freight on that truck and 115 to 150 stops a day, yeah. I got anywhere from 14 to 18 stops a day, and then probably half that in pickups, but I'm in about that 30, 40,000 pounds.
Forklift to load and unload?
Yeah, if they got a forklift, they do, but I got an electric pallet jack, and I just whip it off there. Sometimes I do a lift gate run, and sometimes I'm delivering to certain areas where I'm bringing it to a residential, and I mean, you ought to see the look on these people when I back in from the main road and back into their house, and then they're like, how'd you get in here? I said, I backed in. And he's like, nobody's ever done that. I was like, well, how do you get it delivered? It don't ever come on a big truck like that. I said, well, that's what you get when you get Wayne coming. I'll put that truck anywhere. If it's got an address, I'm going to put it in there.
From driving a tow motor or a forklift? I know I got to where I could back a car up about as good as I could go forward after driving a tow motor all day long.
4 years worth of just driving big trucks all my life. That's all I've ever done pretty much since high school. I'm 55 now, so it's like maybe I've been doing it longer than that, but I've been in it for so long and did it for so long that it just comes natural. You know, it just pretty much, if I look at an area, I call Southeastern, I said, I can't get it in there. Okay, bring it back. Because Wayne or anybody else says, we can't get it in there, it ain't going in there.
It's my turn at the first window of two. But, That's pretty cool. I didn't know that you were doing that, but I'm glad to hear that you're fully recovered now and you're staying busy. That makes the time go by a lot quicker, huh?
You know, I finally got all that ham radio equipment replaced and got everything fixed, got everything straightened out. I did find out what my issue was. After I did everything that I did to everything I had, that little bit of static problem that I was having was the ground wire coming down from the antenna. The ground wire was about 9 feet long because it's on that mass. And I took that thing and had it grounded. When I put a choke ballon at the wall and... Well, that annihilated everything. And I took every single ground off of everything inside the ham shack, and everything outside is separately grounded on its... Each and every single item outside the shack has its own separate grounds. I'll say it that way.
Find it. I had a similar issue when I first became a ham back in 2004. And my ham shack's on the second floor. And I ran a similar length, maybe a little bit longer than that, ground wire, a quarter inch solid copper. Like, and I had RF in the shack like you would not believe. I kept reading. I found out I needed a floating ground. That ground wire was actually an antenna, and it was radiating, and that's what was coming in the shop. I cut that ground wire loose and used a floating ground on the second floor, and all my problems went away.
It's me how something so simple. Now, my amplifier will work on all the HF frequencies from 160 all the way to 10 meters. It won't work. Now, when I tell you this, you're probably going to think, well, I took and changed the frequency and went up a little bit higher. So I get up there to the real top side of where we can talk on 10 meters. Oh, amplifier would work. Well, then I thought, well, I'm going to try something a little bit different. I changed a length in a jumper, and then it cleaned it up a little bit. So I've still got a problem with 10, but I'm kind of contemplating, because I can take the meter, test everything, absolutely nothing. But it just does not like 10 meters. Now, if I run the power down low, it'll kick off. If I run it up a little bit, it'll kick off. If I drive 100 dang-gum watts into that amplifier, she'll sit there and do 1,300 watts without even batting an eye. It never phases. So I just, for the life of me, I don't understand what in the heck could be causing the issue.
You don't export antenna analyzers, do you?
No, but I got one of the MFJ ones that does UHF, VHF, and HF.
Which will give you not only the standing wave ratio, but all of the components that are used. No, all of the components that influence the SWR, so you can see which one is driving it out of whack, and you'll know, you know, what you need to tune to bring it. And you get to see the full, the whole band all in one shot. This Rig Expert SWR analyzers or antenna analyzers, they're hard to beat.
Those, I just got that MFJ one. And I know it's capable of, like, hooking up a jumper to it or hooking a piece of coax up to it. And you can kind of check and make sure that, you know, everything's kind of copacetic. I do wish I had something that I could test some of these jumpers and see if there's something going on. Because, like, on 10 meters, if I'm on low power driving from 5 to about 35 watts, anything in that spectrum, let's just say dead center of the HF band of 10 meters, I get my RF meter that I use to see if there's anything stray going on, that meter will barely jump around a little bit. Now, it won't do it when you throw full power to it. But I can't and don't want to run full power, so I don't know what's going on.
Frustrating, I know what you mean. I like to run way under the limit as well. I get one that's rated at 100, an amplifier rated at 100 watts for digital modes, and I don't like to run it past 20. That way it'll last forever. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And another thing, too, I called the guy that, MFJ, I talked to the guy that told me, and I mean, he was super nice about it, and told him everything I did. I told him the lengths of everything, my SWR, I told him everything, like he was writing this stuff down. And he sat there and looked at the paper for a minute, and I was like, "You still there?" He said, I'm looking at everything you've told me. He said, you know that amplifier that you got, a handle 150 watts of drive. I shouldn't tell you that, but he said it will. He said, if you got to drive 70, 85 watts in it for it to operate, he says, it's not going to hurt it. He said, it's built way better than what they advertise. That's why those amps are so good. And that's the new 1306 Ameritron. They're built to take way more, but you don't have to put that much into it. It just aggravates me, but, you know, I don't want to run it. I just want to be able to operate it when I need it, because me and Rob talk on 10, and I need a couple of hundred watts for him to hear me good, and it's like I can't do it unless I jack it wide open.
W4DJW. Well, it can be something simple. It doesn't sound like it's anything really complex. I mean, it's not like you're going to burn anything up, right? It's just annoying, right?
The guy, Mayor John, flat out told me who the guy was that built them, told me how they were built, told me how well built he went into the whole genealogy of it. Like, he really broke it down for me and told me, he says, the amplifier handle 150 watts drive, but, you know, you ain't going to tell everybody that. You don't need to be doing that, but it'll actually handle that much. They just say 5 watts to 60 watts. You know, if you got to put 75 or 100, it's not even going to phase it. And, you know, I mean, I feel good about that because I don't put but about 35 to 40 into it and get about 9. And, you know, to me, on HF, heck, that's overkill. It does good, but it's not even, that amp don't even get warm hardly at all.
Michael Oakley lived down there near you?
Yeah, he's about 10 or 12 miles from me.
I bet you he has the equipment. He could help figure that out. He's really, really good.
About that, you know, I could get him to come over. I know he took my tower down here several months ago, and I talked to him about it, and his legs has not been doing too good, and he wasn't feeling too great about doing anything, and so he had to kind of pass on it this time around. I know I went ahead and made the tilt over, which there's a YouTube video on that too, but the tilt over worked absolutely beautiful and got my beam up like I need it and all that good stuff. Get a phone call. KG4MUK, I'm about home.
All right, Wayne, I'm pulling in the driveway. Good timing. KG4MUK, W4DJW clear.
CQ, Alpha Alpha 4, Gulf Hotel, Gus from Southwest Florida, just wanting to say hi.